Retirement surprises? Well, we've got you covered. This podcast, Money Matters USA with Fred Sabe, will help you navigate the unexpected, from inflation to market jitters. Learn how to turn surprises into opportunities and make your golden years truly golden. We start right now.
And now, Money Matters USA with Fred Sabe.
And you also need to work with your advisor to create multiple income streams.
You're at the right place for information every week regarding all the components of a successful retirement plan.
Asset allocation is really a driving force to how much your accounts are going to grow.
Fred Sade is a financial fiduciary and retirement specialist.
I have to put the client's interest ahead of my own pocketbook at all times. I must be able to justify why I'm making the recommendations.
Money Matters USA with Fred Sade.
Fred Sade has been doing retirement planning for years, and he knows to plan for the unexpected, to expect the unexpected in your retirement planning process. Welcome into Money Matters USA, and this is podcast number 146 with Fred Sade. Fred is the founder and managing director of Money Matters USA, a fiduciary firm, also holds a PhD in economics from Duke University. Focusing on the retirement phase, a now longer phase of our financial lives, which means, Fred, even more chances for the unexpected to happen. We're going to look at that.
Yeah, absolutely. The longer you live, the more likely things are going to happen and not always, for the good. And one of the things that I think people don't understand adequately is how to address the problem of Medicare. You're either going to be enrolled in a government plan, which is what original Medicare is, or you're going to be enrolled in an Advantage plan, which has nothing to do with the government, which is a private insurance setup. But beyond that, people assume that when you reach age 65, you must enroll in Part A, which is the hospital part of Medicare. That's absolutely untrue. You do not. You do have options about Part A. And people just make an assumption that they have no choice and they must. So based on how you handle Medicare and how you either understand or get advice from someone who might be a Medicare specialist or like me, I do Medicare planning, but I don't sell products. But the point is, once you do understand and look at your cost exposures, then you're face to face in most states with the fact that once you make this choice as to not only the Medicare Part A, but then what to do about Part B, that choice is really irrevocable because very few states don't have a test for medical, don't put you through medical underwriting. And once you have to go through medical underwriting, you may be stuck with the plan that you chose. The only exception is you get a one-year try it and see if you like it, which is the Advantage plan. So the question then becomes, how much money are you going to be out of pocket? And that's going to in part depend upon what plan you chose, whether you want to be in original Medicare or whether or not you want to be in an Advantage plan, and then what type of Advantage plan you're going to be in. And the longer you live, the more likely those costs are going to increase. And there are a lot of estimates about what that cost is going to be, and Fidelity is probably the most well-known, and they're talking about something around $150,000 lifetime on an after-tax basis to cover health care cost in retirement, and for a couple, it's something over $300,000. And then you need to then consider, how how you're going to plan for that, and it could be through adjusting your emergency fund to have a contingency in there for health care. Not everybody has an HSA, but if you do, HSAs are marvelous because they are triple tax free.
Mm-hmm.
Once you enroll in Medicare Part A, you can no longer contribute to the HSA, but you can use the money that you have already contributed for your out-of-pocket expenses, and it doesn't have to be limited to co-pays or deductibles on prescription drugs or for medical.
Yeah, they're really good if you're eligible for that. What other options or proactive options are available
for healthcare?
Yeah, and I was thinking even possibly for long-term care, which you don't get a lot of help from Medicare on, right?
Yeah, you can traditional Medicare is still available, and for some people it is an excellent choice. It's not for everyone. But you have to make some decisions about how you're going to pay for long-term care. Most people want to be treated at home. And so there are plans that only cover care in the home. There are, in some states, including my home state of New Jersey, there is what's called short-term coverage. That has a maximum, I think, of a 90-day waiting period, and then it will cover the usual long-term care expenses. And the value of it is that it gives you a transitional opportunity to have expenses covered during the rest of the year, if necessary. And then if you're going on to a private pay plan, or you might have a extended care plan with a one-year deductible, and that would drive your price down. But there are life insurance products that will provide for long-term care in-home and in-facility, as well as annuity-type products. Some are specialized products. Others are your regular annuities, which can be multi-year guarantee annuities, or they can be fixed index annuities, which will have a long-term care benefit. Some of the benefits are fairly extensive, some are less extensive, but can cover home health care, which is really where the dominant amount of care is given to avoid putting people into a facility of any kind. Those are the general options. People tend to prefer life insurance or annuity options because in the traditional long-term care plan, if you don't have a long-term care episode, then your premium is lost. But the advantage of it in some states that have it is that if Medicaid is in your picture and you've planned for Medicaid as providing you with extended benefits, then there are what's called partnership plans, and they vary, but in most cases, it's a simple trade-off that you have X amount of benefit, and let's say you exhaust the benefit, and then the state comes in on top of that, and they pay out some benefit, and then at your death, they do a comparison, how much the state paid versus how much the plan paid, and if the plan paid more than what the state paid, then the state has no claim against any assets. If it's the other way around, vice versa, then the state would have a claim only to the extent of the difference. So it can make sense. Those plans are not inexpensive, but if you have a smaller size amount of assets and you haven't done a lot of planning, then the partnership plans can make an awful lot of sense. On the other hand, you can do extensive planning to protect assets, and there are trusts that can be used to and if done properly, there won't be anything in those trusts, and there are Medicaid-friendly annuities, which are specialized products that are designed to provide you a benefit up to the Medicaid state cap. But I think that pretty much covers it. The real problem. The real problem is that people don't think that they're going to need long-term care type services or to experience long-term care type episodes, despite the fact that 70% of people do require those services. But they always think it's always going to be that other guy.
Somebody else.
Yeah, it's
but
never going to be me.
And
the other thing is that if you... if you open up with statistics, people will always push back at you. So you really have to do it in the context of the financial plan, and then mention incidentally, mm-hmm. once you have a longevity framework, then to discuss things that can happen with the extended longevity. I mean, people live longer and they have diseases that they wouldn't have had, 50 years ago. Because life expectancy was so much lower.
Right, exactly. Covering expenses and how to expect the possibly unexpected with Fred Sade. Before we get to the next one, it's kind of a tie-in with a plug for the podcast. They're available at Fred's website, wherever you download your podcast. But the easiest way is just if you go to moneymattersusa.net, click podcast, you can scroll through the other 140. How many did I say it was? 146.
Yeah, 146.
Wow. Scroll through them all. And we got a little write-up on, but I was going to mention, leading into the next topic, February 23rd, Fred had Joe Peters as a guest. He's a residential real estate agent. But this is not about buying a home, expense-wise, what Fred... you're going to talk about here, but it's the expenses of home maintenance for those in retirement.
Yeah, people don't always think about the cost of home ownership. They think about, it's a place to live, it's an asset, I want my kids to inherit the house. They don't think about it as, what the cost of it is going to be, other than the taxes that the municipality levies, and maybe the sewers, if that's not enrolled up into the tax, the quarterly taxes. But there are other expenses, home maintenance, a new roof, air conditioning, refrigerator, plumbing, electrical, just wear and tear from just living in a house. The Bureau of Labor Statistics say that people over the age of 65, on average, spend almost $17,000 a year just in the period from 2016 to 2020. And with inflation being what it is, that's probably a significantly higher number than it was then. So,
wonder how much of that was 2020 people, a lot of people stuck at home and seeing lots of things that needed to be done. I know a lot of people did that.
The big box stores, that sell stuff for do-it-yourselfers. Mm-hmm. Their revenue was up, though recently it started to go down, and which probably is a function, not that people have been forward looking and done all the repairs that they have to do, but rather I just think it's a function of the increased cost of living for all the other necessities that people have. So, people always talk about downsizing, but very few people really do downsize. They just want to stay in their home, in the neighborhood, in their town. And obviously, you could downsize, but it's a minority in terms of numbers of people who will actually relocate, say, from a home to a condo, from a colonial with stairs up and up and down, or a cape that has upstairs, to something that's on one floor, ranch type setting or a condo or something that where you don't have to climb stairs, which can become an issue as people age. So, in the budget, you can build in a factor for maintenance, and you can include that as a sub fund hanging off your emergency fund. Again, if we're using bucketing or time segmentation or bucketing, that's a good place in the emergency fund. Just hang it off the emergency fund, and that would be money that would be put in there as a contingency, and used as needed. And if you're not using that, if you're using a fixed distribution strategy or flooring, you still could build that into your budget and reallocate if you don't need it for that purpose. Again, those are the three main methods of how people derive income during retirement: fixed distribution, flooring, bucketing, time segmentation, and flooring. There are others, but those are the main three.
Next is inflation, and obviously we're experiencing that. How do we factor that in?
Well, that for many people that becomes a major challenge. 2%. I mean, we had 40 years where we had very little inflation, and even if you look at the Social Security COLA. From 1975 to up until last year, the average COLA was only 2%. And if you go to the main Social Security website and you use the calculator there, the assumption that they make in the calculator is 2%, a 2% COLA. So in terms of coping with inflation, if you're using bucketing, which is the methodology that I prefer, when we set the budget up, we set up a total amount, and then we set up an excess fund, and this is the excess fund that on a monthly basis, depending on what it is the amount that we're targeting. But let's say our goal is $7,000 a month. We then might have $2,000 as excess, and we're going to take the $2,000 and people are going to put that in the bank. So you'd have $24,000 a year, in this simple example of excess funds, and you can draw on that as you would need it. We can ladder and make sure that we can trigger at different points in order to increase income if we need to. But if we do this correctly through the budgeting process and how we set it up, we should not have any difficulty whatsoever, and we can take inflation out of the equation. Of course, you can ignore people's spending patterns and just keep on inflating That's really not a sound strategy, not only because people have their own personal rates of inflation, but the other issue here that's also very important, and I'm not minimizing your personal inflation rate versus the inflation rate of the country, average though it is, but you have other options. You can, if you're using a withdrawal strategy, you can do excess withdrawals during your good years, bank those withdrawals, and then in down years or poor years, instead of hitting your portfolio, you would then take money from the excess account. You have to be very careful with inflation assumptions and not get caught with anchoring, which is a behavioral characteristic where you're looking at one thing and then everything else you're doing in reference to that first thing. And that becomes a problem because then inflation is top of mind, which for many people it is right now because realistically prices are high. Comparatively speaking, they feel much higher because we had 40 years where we had no significant inflation and we had very low to zero, to almost zero or near zero interest rates. So it's really important when you're doing the planning process to how you're going to deal with inflation, and being able to counteract it and not get to the point where we have higher inflation right now, but a couple of years from now, if we listen to the if we listen to the Federal Reserve, they're now saying, you know, they've gone from inflation will be temporary and it's all a supply chain problem to now where inflation will be longer and last longer and it's harder for us to squeeze it out. So, you know, it's really in the planning process that you have to address it. And planning software, most of the planning software out there is a problem because it won't allow you to do exactly what I said before, which is to have the excess money and not to keep on inflating, and which most software does not allow you to do variable spending. And that's really the other key issue here.
Let's look at two big ones here, starting with taxes, and then we'll get to longevity. And I guess you could even tie those in one way, but taxes, are many people surprised that they don't necessarily go down in retirement?
Yeah, they're absolutely stunned because for some people, healthcare will be the biggest expense in retirement. For other people, it's going to be taxes is the biggest expense in retirement because all their money is tax deferred. And now it's coming out and it's going to be taxable. They have no after-tax accounts of any consequence, so they don't get any benefit from Roths, for example. And then they don't want to do any trust planning because that costs money to pay the attorney and the accountant. But still, you can get enormous benefit. And I'm not minimizing Roths. I think they're the ninth wonder of the world. They're absolutely terrific. But people also don't take advantage of capital gains, which they can get in an after-tax account. Now, that can be a double-edged sword, so you have to be careful there. But still, everything is now coming out as being taxed as ordinary income. And so all of a sudden, we're looking at how much money do you need? Is that before or is that after taxes? And let's take a look at your tax situation, your asset situation. Let's do some scenarios here to look at what you're looking at once you start taking your distributions. And software that we use is, we can do standalone planning, but it also integrates and it pulls all this stuff together so you can start to see the impact. And then once you start doing scenario planning, you can look at other alternatives to knock those taxes down. And let's not forget that once you turn Social Security on, Social Security you may very well be looking at the significant taxation of Social Security, and it's going to also include just about every asset you've got to determine whether you're going to be at 50% includable on Social Security or 85% includable. And those numbers are very low, $25,000, $32,000 at the 50% mark, whether you're single or married. And those numbers have never been adjusted for inflation. So, I mean, these are a hard pill to swallow for many people, and because they don't realize the impact that taxation is going to have, and that it becomes a problem. Also, because people will say, "Well, you know, I'll deal with that later. I'll deal with it when it happens." That is mm-hmm. too late, you know, and they're worried right now, you know. About taxes today, and I want to knock those taxes down. So, I mean, would you want to be in a zero tax bracket or pretty close to it in retirement when it really counts? Or, you know, with our taxes being as low as they are right now, take advantage of your opportunities right now. And we know from the president's proposed budget the last 2 years what they want to do. It's pretty much, I think, in the game that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is going to expire.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, then it depends on who wins the presidential election and who wins Congress as to what happens next. We know the battle lines are drawn. We just don't know who the winner is.
And finally, in this segment, longevity can be expensive, certainly, and people are living longer.
There is no question about this. I mean, a woman in good health has a 50% chance of living to age 90 and a 33% chance of living to age 94. And that's in good health, and that's no tobacco use consuming an excessive quantity of alcohol. And male expectancy is somewhere around 86, 88. And, you know, again, the same in good health. It doesn't have to be, you know, decathlon type health.
Right.
Again, it just means, you know, watching diet, exercising regularly, not using tobacco, and controlling the intake of, you know, of alcohol. Those are the key things. And with the extended longevity, means that your money has to last longer, your assets have to last longer. We've talked a number of times about the number one fear right now that people have. It's not dying; it's running out of money while
right.
they are still alive. So, I mean, people need to recognize that. You know, that planning is a snapshot in time. Plans need to reflect your goals, your aspirations, what you want your money to do for you, how you're going to use the money, making sure that the plan is reviewed, that as your life changes, the plan needs to change. And, you know, to summarize, take into account your expenses, your tax situation, health expenses, long-term care, probability expenses, inflation, market volatility, market risk. These are your income plan, the how you're going to construct the income, how much of it is going to be guaranteed and secure, and how much of it is going to be at risk because it's based on some sort of withdrawal strategy that's really not protected. I mean, those are just some of the things that have to be, you know, considered. And, you know, and not to jump up and down at the last thing that, you know, that you read or you heard. Remember, we're living in a 24/7 news cycle. And what's the old saying? If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
People are just yelling and screaming at the top of their lungs to get your attention. And it may not be valid, and these free online groups or what have you, you need to be very, very cautious about some of these El Cheapo calculators that are out there. You don't know what the algorithms that are being used in these calculators, mm-hmm. how, and you don't know what you're getting. These are not ad hoc things that you can just separate. It really needs to be combined. So you have it's imperative that you have a written retirement income plan. So you know exactly what you've got. You've committed to it. It's your plan, and it does what you want it to do. And it's imperative that be the case. And the other thing that we didn't talk about is fees. Fees are a major thing to consider. You know, people are always worried about churning, where somebody is unscrupulous and they keep on revolving their account for fees. But there's also another thing, which is called reverse churning, which is where somebody's charging you, you know, an asset fee, but they're not doing anything. So they haven't done any trading on your account. You got the same thing at the end that you started with. So reverse churning is also important.
Yeah. Well, and it's amazing you didn't even cover everything. Fees to prepare for in retirement.
When we have the first, and we do a screening interview, last 15, 20 minutes, and we tell people what we do. We ask them what they're looking for, and we tell them straight out that we're looking to give them a wow experience. And mm-hmm. if that's in their wheelhouse, then, you know, let's have a conversation. Let's go to a meeting. Our meetings last not less than 2 hours, mm-hmm. every meeting. Sometimes they go to 3 hours. And you know, you tell people that, and they don't believe you. But then, as they start going through it, even the two-hour meetings sometimes aren't enough. Because they get blown away by all the things that are involved that have to be considered. And you know, you don't want to omit something because that will turn out to be important. And sometimes the real let me give you an example. A couple that we just finished working with, they're magnificent savers. They've saved about $3.5 million, and they used an online calculator and some stuff that they read, and they came in, and the thing was, we don't have enough money. We just don't have enough money. I mean, we went through, and we got at the third meeting, we had the draft plan, and it turns out that they had more than enough money. They were looking for about $100,000 net after taxes, and we could actually get about $145,000 net after taxes. And if the husband lived to age 88 and the wife lived to age 90, they would wind up taking out about the $3.5 million, $3.7 million, something like that. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm just doing it from memory. And the rest of their assets would have grown to an excess of $5 million. And you know what their reaction was? Hostility.
Huh.
Because they didn't believe me. They said, you're making this up. The numbers aren't real.
Oh.
So we went through it very, very carefully. We showed them exactly how we got to the numbers, how the algorithms did the calculations. We got right into the specifics of it, and when we were done, they just couldn't believe that everything that they had been doing, and thinking that they just had to keep on saving and saving, not being able to spend any money, having to have a suboptimal retirement, all that was false because their thinking and what they were using was inadequate for what they had accomplished, and they thought that they couldn't do most of what they thought they were going to do in retirement, so their retirement wasn't going to be golden; it would be kind of cloudy.
Wow!
With some rain.
Don't want that. and sunny days in retirement. Coming up, quick break, and then a volatile market, CPI numbers, inflation numbers. What do they all mean? Brett will break it down straight ahead on Money Matters USA.
And now, a nightmare retirement consultation.
Yeah, no pain, no gain, right? No risk, no reward, right? We're going all risk, see? We're going to put everything you got in the market. You're going to love it.
Don't walk, run from that office and go to your future retirement partner who has your best interest in mind with a retirement plan that includes growth, protection, and income so you can sleep well at night. Call Fred Sade at 800-593-8188. That's 800-593-8188.
Money Matters USA and MoneyMattersUSA.net, the website. Mention the podcast. If you click podcast at MoneyMattersUSA.net, scroll through the 146 that are there. And also, if you should click red light on the dashboard. Learn about the red light on the dashboard program, and Fred will talk to you about that too, as it can be custom implemented for you. We're recording. Our recording day today is Wednesday, May 22nd. So these are some of the latest numbers. Some may be about a week old. Stocks surged ahead, both the Dow and S&P 500 reaching record highs. Meanwhile, core prices, excluding volatile food and energy items, saw their smallest rise since April 2021. But again, that's excluding food and energy. This brought some relief to investors and the Fed following a string of data earlier in the year hinting at building price pressures. So, Fred, I mean, some of that sounds good. I know everyone has their own personal inflation, and you have to factor Main Street in with Wall Street. What do you make of some of the numbers, inflation, CPI, and all of that?
Well, first of all, there's some good news in that, but we still have the overall problem that the administration, through all the spending programs, over $7 trillion of spending was enacted by the Biden administration. And there's about $1.6 trillion unspent. Some of it includes COVID money. And the administration wants to spend that money within 6 months. I can't believe you can spend $1.6 trillion, excuse me, in 6 months. But the point is that it's a push-pull, that the fiscal policy is expansionary and is stimulative, and the monetary policy is hitting the brakes. It keeps on pumping the brakes. And so we have contrary policies. Historically, in an election year, the Fed does cut interest rates one time. And I think that's pretty much the Wall Street consensus right now. We've gone from 5 to 7 cuts to 1 cut. It could come in September. In 2012, it came after the election. So that's the best case, maybe one cut. Some people are doing very well. About 20% of Americans are doing very, very well right now because of the high interest rates and the stock market being what it is. Stock market's a mixed bag. We had the Magnificent Seven. Now we have four stocks that are driving the market. The S&P is about 25 times future earnings. It's overbought right now. But, as long as people keep on pumping money into the market, the music is going to continue until it stops. And right now, there's no sign of when it's going to stop. As far as who wins the election, it doesn't matter. The market always reacts short term, and after a couple of months, things settle down, and the market does what it's going to do, which is be unpredictable. The market works on the basis of something that's called the gambler's fallacy, which in basic terms means that if something occurs in an unpredictable way that you conclude that it's going to happen, that something else is going to happen, or vice versa. So a very simple example would be is, let's say you're in a, you know, you're in Las Vegas and you're at the roulette wheel, and let's say you, it's been black for 3-4 times. That's the color that came up, and you said, well, we're due for red. And you bet on red, and in the next turn of the wheel, it's still black, or or let's say it's basketball player, as we were talking before, and we went live about basketball. Let's say a player takes 10 shots and doesn't sink any of them. So you say, okay, he's due or she's due. You know, to make the next one, and they take the next shot and they miss. You know, you're always going to shoot your average. So, you know, and let's say your average is 23 points a game, and maybe you will get to 23 points in the fourth quarter. Maybe you don't. Maybe this is a game where you only score 3 points. So, whether it's whatever it happens to be, people always assume that they do. It's like a batter who hasn't hit a home run, you know, in 15 games, and you say, well, he's due now to hit that home run. Mm-hmm. Maybe in game 25 he does.
Right.
But it doesn't mean it's going to be in game 16. So I think this is it's important, you know, for people to come in for, you know, an annual review. If you haven't had a review in a number of years, everything has changed. Again, if it's a traditional type of planning process, or you don't have a plan, it's time to get one, and one that gives you a written retirement income plan. If you're going into retirement, it's well time to address this. If you're in retirement and you're not happy about how things are going, and you don't have a written plan, you got is a lot of products or talked about or strategies and whatnot. Again, it's time for a review to see exactly where you're at and what's your going forward plan in order to address this. We've gone now, you know, from inflation is shorter and transitory to it's going to be longer and take some time for us to get this under control and our arms around it. And that's what the Fed is telling us. So, you have to protect yourself, and the only way to do that is with a very comprehensive, sound, comprehensive plan. And with periodic updates, because no plan is valid forever. It needs to be updated periodically, and it's healthy to have annual reviews, and sooner if necessary. The planning has to be done with realistic scenario analysis, not hypothetical, but realistic analysis, so that you can try to anticipate as much as is humanly possible, and know what to do if the scenarios that you're planning with actually come to pass.
Well, plan properly. The theme today: be prepared, and certainly review. All that is available from Fred Sade and his fiduciary firm, Money Matters USA. A couple of ways to reach out to Fred: 800-593-8188. 800-593-8188, and also at moneymattersusa.net. And so much there. Learn about Fred, the firm. Click the podcast, hear the podcast there, listen on demand. The podcast tab also will give you access to Stump the Guru if you'd like to get a question to Fred and see if you can stump him for a prize. And, of course, the Red Light Program tab. Learn about the Red Light on the Dashboard Program. All of that at moneymattersusa.net. Fred keeps us up on what we need to expect in our financial lives nearing retirement every week with this podcast, Money Matters USA.
And
Investment advisory services offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. Fred Sade and his guests provide general information, not individually targeted personalized advice, and are not liable for the usage of information discussed. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell in any of these financial vehicles. This information should also not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with a professional specializing in the fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to the securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. By contacting Money Matters USA, you may be provided information regarding the purchase of insurance products.